WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is closed. Roughly 750,000 federal workers expected to be furloughed without pay. Some potentially fired by the Trump administration. Some things are still open, says ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
National parks are open for now, but could face staff shortages. The Smithsonian will be open until at least October 6th. And in 1 week, that critical WIC program, which gives nutrition assistance to 7 million low-income women and their children, is set to run out of funding.
President Trump's immigration crackdown and some public health work at the FDA and the Department of Agriculture will continue during the shutdown. Rescuers are using backhoes and sniffer dogs to try to find more survivors in the central Philippines following an earthquake that has left at least 69 people dead. President Trump proposing using American cities as training grounds for U.S. troops. That part of the new Trump administration culture for the military laid out before hundreds of generals this week. This is ABC News.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Another Democrat has announced a run for Wisconsin governor. Missy Hughes, who until recently was the secretary of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Savannah Tomei Olson has details.
Hughes has served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019. She left her post about a week and a half ago, rumored to be entering the gubernatorial race. Here's how her first campaign ad, released this morning, begins.
I'm Missy Hughes. There are a few things you need to know about me.
Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy.
She spent years growing Wisconsin businesses.
And worked to strengthen main streets across Wisconsin. The biggest thing, I'm running for governor.
Hughes emphasizes her business background and says that is what sets her apart.
I spent 17 years as a dairy industry executive, growing Organic Valley to $1 billion in sales and keeping Wisconsin family farmers on their land.
The field of Democrats running just keeps growing, and now we can add Hughes to the list, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, State Senator Kel DeRoyes, State Representative Francesca Hong, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has reported another significant increase in the number of calls for falls in 2024. According to a recently released report, emergency crews responded to over 140,000 calls for residents who were hurt in a fall. The total is nearly 10,000 higher than in 2023 and over 35,000 higher than in 2019. DHS officials say the state's aging population is a contributing factor in the increased number of falls. Wisconsin also has the highest fall death rate among older adults in the country. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
After further review, hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers coaching staff reviewing the tape of Sunday night's game in Dallas, in which Green Bay kicked a field goal with 1 second left, ending in a tie. Matt LaFleur admits that was poor clock management.
Just looking at the clock, I'm like, oh my God, there's going to be no time left. It's a very humbling experience to go through that. It's unacceptable, quite honestly. And there's nothing we can do about it now other than we better learn from it. Everybody.
The Packers have the week off before hosting the Bengals Sunday, October 12th. NBA, Bobby Portis says, after meeting with Bucks GM John Horst and coach Doc Rivers, he decided to stay in Milwaukee.
Being able to have that open dialogue, open communication with John, open communication with Doc, it's been a great experience for me being here in Milwaukee. Definitely would have been weird going to another franchise, and so I'm happy I'm here.
That's Bucks forward Bobby Portis with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Nativerts Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Then Civic Media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Wednesday morning. It's the first day of October 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison at Studio A2 at Civic Media headquarters at the top of State Street, just one block away from the state capitol. Coming up, we'll meet Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor at Up North News, coming up in just a bit. And then there's some big news coming up on this program 90 minutes from now. So you're going to want to stick around till 8:35, or if you have to step away, come on back, or sign up and get this show as a podcast through Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's all about the 7th Congressional District up north. The 7th Congressional District takes up, like, at least the northern third of the state. Tom Tiffany has represented it for the past couple of years. He's now running for governor. So it is an open seat, and we'll be talking with somebody who's going to shed some light on who the next congressional representative could be up north in the 7th District in just a little bit. Brittany Merlot is off, which is a shame, because we would finally get to introduce Merlot to Bordeaux. That, of course, would be Ellie Bordeaux, wow, the new newsletter editor here at Up North News. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to have you here. We want to learn more about you and more about the newsletter. So having got that hello in there, just stand by for a sec, because I realized I got to pass on the keyword for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you could be winning cash and jewelry as part of a daily prize, and then every entry has you ready to go for the grand prize, which is two club level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota playing a little football game on November 23rd in Green Bay, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the prize package, more than $1,500. So get on that Civic Media app and get set to text us this keyword before 8 a.m. And then there will be other words throughout the course of the day, other chances to enter, starting with Matt Nair on Air during the 9 a.m. hour. But for the 7 a.m. hour, the text to win keyword is cheer. That's C-H-E-E-R. Cheer, C-H-E-E-R. Text that before 8 o'clock for your chance to win the daily prize and be in the running for that grand prize as well. Cheer before the end of the hour, C-H-E-E-R. All right, we've got the housekeeping out of the way. So in talking with Ellie about the newsletter, I guess we'll first start with a little bit about yourself. Coming first off from, you're an Oconomowoc girl, first and foremost.
Yes, I am. I'm born and raised in Oconomowoc. I've lived in Wisconsin my whole life, which I love. I love Wisconsin, so I'm not complaining about that. I went to UW-Madison. I graduated there in 2024 with degrees in journalism and Spanish. While I was at UW-Madison, I was a writer and editor for the Daily Cardinal there, which is the independent student newspaper on campus. And now I'm here. So mm-hmm. All good things.
Yeah, all good things. Absolutely. So with the Daily Cardinal, did you have like a particular beat or interest?
Yeah, so I kind of did a little bit of everything. I started out my sophomore year and I went into it completely blind. I had no idea what it meant to be a journalist. I did not know how to write a story. And I remember writing my first story and it just kind of got torn to shreds by my editor, which is fine. It was a learning moment, you know. But my sophomore year, I started as just a staff editor. And then I was the associate news desk editor. So I was in charge of breaking news. So I was in charge of pitching stories to all my writers. If there was breaking news on campus or around Madison, I was in charge of either going and covering it or finding someone to go cover it. And then I did a whole 180. And my senior year, I was the features desk editor. So I was in charge of longer form, more investigative stories. So I have kind of gotten a whole overview of journalism while I was at the Daily Cardinal, which was a great experience. I kind of got a little taste of everything. So it was great.
All right. And then you mentioned having the, not just the journalism education, but the Spanish as well. Is that something you've been putting to use?
Not as much as I would like to necessarily. Sometimes it's hard to find places to practice it, but I definitely try and use it when I can. I stay on top of my Duolingo, you know, to get some practice where I can.
I just want to know if Sophia Minert has any reason to think that her job is in jeopardy for all of the Spanish language interviews that she does after Brewers games for FanDuel. and by the way, she is, I mean, she's won Emmy Award.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's a workhorse and does those interviews. And so I can imagine that might be some practice for you if we can get you down to the Brewer dugout and talk to some of the players.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be great.
You've been to your share of sporting events already as you've heard your story in some of your first editions of our newsletter, talking about things that you've done with your dad and some of your travels around the state. What are some of the favorite memories you've been sharing already?
You know, I I've only ever gone to two Packer games in my life. You know, my first one was last season for my birthday. Me, my dad, and my brother went, which was super fun. And then me and my boyfriend actually went 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, for the whiteout game, and that was really cool. So we kind of just went on like a last minute, like, why not? Let's go. So we ended up going. That was super fun. I've been to a ton of Badger games in my time. I started going to those when I was really little, and that's when I was like, oh, I really want to go to school here, you know. Mm-hmm. And Brewer games too. I've been to my fair share of those. Packer games are a little bit more slim, but
How much jumping have you officially done with the jump around? Could you count the number of times you've jumped?
I'm trying to think the amount. I don't know how many times I've jumped, but I've definitely got
it's a lot.
Burned some calories there for
have
sure.
You, have you actually yes. jumped, or have you just like kind of bounced?
Yeah, do you just bounce on the balls of your feet? Oh, wow. No, okay. You actually jump. Okay.
You got to jump because I would always get upset when people are just like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm like, that's not jumping. You're not jumping around. Come on. You know,
that's like me with the wave. You know, the wave used to be this big new thing. And now if you're with the wave, I kind of lift my hands up and hey. Ellie would yell at us for that. Exactly. We're talking to Ellie Bordeaux, the new newsletter editor with us here at Up North News. And as we get into the things that you've been working on, I mean, you right away started with a special edition last week all about fall in Wisconsin. And, you know, needless to say, as you know from our segments with Sherita Booker on Thursdays, there's no shortage of stuff that you can do. There's no reason to be homebound in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is plenty to do. And our fall guide covers Oktoberfest all around the state. We've got fall festivals. We've got some like spooky, scary spots as Halloween kind of approaches. So we have no shortage of things for you to do. I love hearing responses from all the readers of, hey, this gave me something to do this weekend. Like, I'm going to go check out this fall festival, or I'm going to go to this Oktoberfest and try this pumpkin beer, you know? So there's definitely no shortage of things to do in our fall guide definitely shows that. So
yeah, I mean, a big part of the premise of Up North News, folks go, well, you guys just cover a lot of political news. Well, we do, because we think that is stuff that people need to know about. But by and large, we're just an outlet that celebrates Wisconsin and wants people to get in the car and get all around, get to some new event, some new festival, some new place that you haven't, you know, hiked before or something like that. I know it was a series of newsletter stories that got me thinking that I've got to go see more of these waterfalls around Wisconsin. And so last year, I know we went to go see a couple of those. So as you have started looking at things that may get into the newsletter, have you already started your own little bucket list of things that, like, I haven't gone there yet and I want to get to that?
Definitely. That's something that selfishly has been really nice for me to be able to look into all these things. And now I'm like, oh, I have something to do this weekend. You know, if I have no plans, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go check out this Oktoberfest, or, oh, I'm going to go check out the ginormous pumpkin fest, you know, those kinds of things. So it definitely has helped me find things to do throughout the coming weeks, you know?
Well, and I know that Selena Heller was at the ginormous pumpkin fest in Altoona last weekend and would be more than happy to take you around and, you know, have you see some of the sites over here in the western part of the state. And I was encouraged to note that as you've been making your drives, you have not just like you and Parker, you kids in your rock and roll music, you have shown a willingness to listen to some of the classic stuff, which is a nice way of saying old guy radio. But you've been to some concerts and started up a whole new playlist that kind of defies your generational boundary.
Yeah, a little bit. I guess you could say that. I grew up on that kind of music. My mom is super into that kind of music. My dad is too. My parents, their favorite band is AC/DC. Our dog is named after Angus Young. His name is Angus. So all that kind of stuff. I was definitely born on those and raised on those, that type of music. So it just kind of is what I love, you know. And going to those concerts was so fun. Yeah, it's a great time.
I am sitting here just blown away. You know, yes, but, you know, again, my generation's parents, you know, they were listening to Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And I didn't realize we've come to the generation now where they go, oh yeah, my mom and dad, they listen to AC/DC all the time. I was not expecting to hear that. So that is awesome.
Yeah.
And makes me feel super old at the same time, but you know, that's okay. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. And I hope we saw you go through the interview process and heard all about some of your ideas and your enthusiasm. So I hope you're looking forward to things so far. Robin Tigerton says, hi, Ellie. You do an excellent job on the newsletter. He also writes, this weekend is Caroline Colorama. It's one of the, it also is one of the largest horse trail rides around. So yeah, we have no shortage of people that want to provide some, you know, insight for giving you ideas for the newsletter. Do you want to let people know how they can reach you?
Yeah. So you can reach me via email, ellie@couriernewsroom.com. Or if you just hit reply to the newsletter, if you sign up on our website, if you just hit reply, I'll get that. I'll see it. I'll respond to you, you know, which is super great. So yeah, it's great to hear responses. I've had so many people reply with, again, things to do in Wisconsin or things that I maybe missed or things that they want to hear more about. And I love hearing those things. So it's a step-by-step process. You know, I'm still trying to kind of get into the swing of things. I'm still pretty new, but hopefully with time, it'll get better and better and you'll see more of what you want to hear, you know?
Oh yeah. It'll definitely click in. So Ellie is E-L-L-I-E. That's Ellie at couriernewsroom.com. Courier Newsroom being the parent company of Up North News. So this has been a lot of fun. I really have appreciated you stepping into this role and starting to put some things in there already, not just the feature stories, but obviously we also drop in a little bit from the day's news headlines. For example, we do have a story in today's edition about basically the new backdoor abortion ban that came from the Trump Republican mega bill. And it's the reason why Planned Parenthood is not performing abortion services currently in Wisconsin while that law is being challenged. So you're always going to get up to date on some of the big news stories in the area, but you're also going to get those little pieces like the story today about some special moments from the Brewers season to kind of get you ready for the playoffs. So a well-rounded publication you're putting together there.
Definitely. Yeah. We try and do a little bit of both. You know, I think it's important to have some of the hard news in there of, hey, this is what's going on around you, you know, got to keep up to date, but also we want to keep things positive. We want to keep things light. We want to, what are some fun things going on throughout the state, you know, that kind of stuff. So we try and keep it a good mix. So.
Oh yes, you do. All right. Ellie Bordeaux, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thank you. All right. So there you go. To learn more and to get signed up for what Ellie's putting together, you can stay up to date by heading to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe in the banner on top of the homepage. From the heart of America's up north here, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS News, and joining me today on Valley Focus is Karen Schneider of the Oshkosh Herald, because it's Wednesday morning. Hello.
Hello, Lisa. How are you?
I am fine. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Still a little riled up about things that have happened, but look at this wonderful weather we're having.
The weather is absolutely fantastic, especially for the, you know, first of October. It's like, wow. But I do want to get into why you're riled up a little bit. And it's something that I covered last week, mm-hmm. and I know that you're going to talk about. The city council. Tell me a little bit about the story.
All right. So last Tuesday at the common council meeting, there were several ordinances that were slated for the first reading. Because for as long as I can remember, the rule for Oshkosh is there's two public readings, two consecutive meetings that the ordinances are read. Now, the Common Council has always had the ability to waive the rules to accept an ordinance on its first reading. And typically when that happens, I mean, it's something that we've already followed, the press has already followed, the public has had the opportunity to follow through a committee.
Right.
Well, last Tuesday on there was an ordinance that is meant to, air quotes, streamline government by eliminating the requirement to have two public readings. So they changing the rule to one reading, they can discuss and vote the first time through. The problem with that I have on this is that the agenda came out on Friday afternoon. It goes before the council on Tuesday evening, and they waive the rules, essentially on waiving the rules, not giving Joe and Jane public any opportunity to digest this or have a say in it. And to me, that is not good government. That's not being transparent. Now, if all of us are complacent and don't say anything between those next 2 weeks, that is on us, Mr. and Mrs. Public. But the thing that has me riled up is they didn't even give us the opportunity to do that. They didn't give you the opportunity. They didn't give the person who lives on Algoma the opportunity. No one really had the opportunity to stand up there and say, this is why I don't think this is a good idea. Now, in a conversation with one of the Common Council members who's wondering, why am I so riled up about this? It was like, well, I really never looked at it that way. That's why you need two readings, okay? And to me, the streamlining of it, part of it is because they're reducing the amount of Common Council meetings they'll have in a year. There's 5 out of the 12 months that there'll be one meeting. So if something comes before the council and then you are skipping, it could mean that it has a longer time before that second reading. And what will that do to a project and so forth? But then I'm just going to go back to, they have always had the ability to waive the rules. So to me, they already had the answer to that without changing this. Now, they're like, well, if there's public input or we need more, we can lay it over. I'm going to go on a limb and say there's going to be a lot less things that are laid over than there would be things that had the rules waived on.
Right.
And so that's why this has me really riled up, because you did not give the public notice on changing this. But I encourage anybody and everybody, make sure that you are enrolled in receiving those agendas on Friday. Make sure that you are reading through it. But I can tell you, between texts, phone calls, emails, and so forth, there's a lot of people that are just as upset about this move as I am. There, you can read about it in today's Oshkosh Herald. I also have a column in there, and I don't do that very often either. But this, folks, is something that I think everybody should, you can agree with it, not care about it, whatever, but you should know about it, because your opportunity to speak up has just been shortened.
I'm going to change tacks now to something that is a lot more fun, I think. And you guys have a story on the new Hope Fridge.
We do. The Hope Fridge is coming back. There's going to be a grand opening on Thursday morning at Trinity Episcopal Church at 203 Algoma Boulevard. This is a collaboration between several groups here in Oshkosh. Shows you what you can do when you collaborate, that will keep it, stocked and all of that. It used to be here in town, went away. But this is very needed, as food insecurity is on the increase and so forth. But I would say give them, join them if you can Thursday between 9 and 10 o'clock outside of Trinity Episcopal Church. There will be features and comments from community partners and local leaders, really talking about the importance of this resource. And, my family are one of those that, you make up the ham and cheese sandwiches or the PB&J and take them out there. And it was humbling to watch how quickly people were at that fridge taking the food. So one, if you have the opportunity, help stock it. Mm-hmm. Bring something to the grand opening to help. But I'm very, very glad to see that this resource is coming back to the downtown area.
And the Hope Fridge is such a, as you said, you give and get from it, because, you can donate, as you said, sandwiches, any non-perishable foods, perishable foods, because it is a refrigerator.
Yes.
Also hygiene items, things like that can all be donated to this area, the Hope Fridge. It's community for community.
Yes. And if you're going to go, here's a little list of items that they would like. So fresh produce, such as bananas, oranges, apples, vegetables, ready to eat or grab and go meals and snacks, pastries, baked goods and bread, cheeses, yogurt, pasteurized eggs, cured sandwich meats, Lunchables, fruit snacks and granola bars, fruit juice, water and sport drinks. It's in today's Oshkosh Herald. Everyone's talking about it because it's such a great thing that it's coming back. But check that out, and hopefully we'll see you there on Thursday morning.
Karen, it is always a pleasure to have you here. I love chatting with another fellow journalist in the area who knows what's going on in Oshkosh and has their finger on the pulse. So thank you for joining me every week here.
Thank you for having me, and sorry if I went on my rant.
That's okay. Check out the Oshkosh Herald at oshkoshherald.com.
Correct.
Okay, good deal. And you can also pick it up at the Piggly Wiggly, Quick Trips, all the areas.
And the coffee shops.
Thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks, Lisa.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Green Career Week is just around the corner, and organizers hope it plants the seeds for a new generation of horticulture professionals. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you from the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll talk about this nationwide event after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Jasmine Alboron is the executive director of Seed Your Future, the group behind the nationwide Green Career Week, running October 6th through the 10th. The goal? To spark student interest in the multi-billion dollar world of horticulture. She tells us how you can get involved.
We are encouraging teachers, parents, educators, anyone that works with students to get them connected to a local horticulture business. So independent garden center, a florist, a breeder, a nursery, greenhouse, you name it. There are businesses right in the middle of urban settings, rural settings. They're everywhere. We just don't know, right? So Seed Your Future, if you reach out to us, we can help you get connected to a business that's in your area. You can set up field trips, go to these businesses and get to know them as employers. What are the different roles that they have and offer for students, for college students?
She says horticulture is a field that stretches from turf management to landscape design, even graphic design. Jasmine Alboron, along with us, who says Green Career Week is a chance for students of all backgrounds to connect with a career path that they may not have considered. More agribusiness news coming your way next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The road to Madison has meant bringing home first place honors for a few individuals. Wisconsin has been competitive this week, taking home second place in the 103rd National 4-H Dairy Cattle Judging Contest. UW-Madison finished in the top five in the 104th National Intercollegiate Dairy Cattle Judging Contest at World Dairy Expo. Congratulations again to the Wisconsin 4-H Dairy Judging Team and the UW-Madison Dairy Cattle Judging Team. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley since 1972, offering comprehensive eye care services. Their doctors also share a special interest in treating chronic dry eye disease, providing specialty contact lenses, and expert pediatric eye care. Find Insight Eye Care on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Improving lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today.
Matt Nair on Air.
He joins us every Friday at this time for some recombobulation. He is also Civic Media's political editor. Dan Schaefer is here.
Tom Tiffany has made it official. He is running for governor. I think he is a Trump endorsement and a strong fundraising quarter away from clearing the field.
Well, but Tony Weed has endorsed him, which is like being Trump adjacent.
It's like the transitive property of endorsements.
Yes.
The 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, only just sad.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back, live from the lake here in Chippewa Falls. It is 7:35, which means that you have less than 25 minutes to text us the word cheer in the Go for the Green and Gold text to win contest. Use that Civic Media app, find the text button, and text the word cheer, C-H-E-E-R, before 8 a.m. for your chance at a daily prize of $200 cash and a gold-plated chain, see green and gold. And also, every entry puts you in the running for that grand prize of tickets to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a little football game with some great indoor seats in Green Bay for a game next month. Again, cheer, and then you'll have another chance to win starting at 9 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air. I mentioned Green Bay and Minnesota playing football as part of this. So there's also going to be some Wisconsin Badger football to talk about for later this week. The Badgers were off last weekend. This weekend, they are taking on Michigan. Coverage begins at 9 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Also wanted to let you know through Civic Media, you know, because we talked to Ellie Bordeaux just a bit ago about Up North News and its newsletters and your updates there. But Civic Media also has ways that you can get local news with a statewide reach. All you got to do is go to civicmedia.us and then click on one of the many stations that are there, your local station preferably. And up near the top of each station's homepage, you'll see a daily news roundup, and you can listen to it right there. Folks from the Civic Media news team record those daily. You can also sign up for email versions of their daily news updates while you're there. Again, that's at civicmedia.us to go learn more. All right, time for a little homeroom action here, where we talk about public education on Wednesday mornings around this time and some of the opportunities, some of the threats that are out there as well. You'll recall that last week we visited with State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Jill Underley. And one of the things that we touched on briefly was the notion of all of these federal budget cuts coming from the Trump administration for the crazy idea that anything associated with what is known as DEI must be bad and has to be cut. Now, never mind that from a race-based standpoint, that's racist on its face. And of course, they've got the cojones to claim that diversity, equity, and inclusion is itself racist because, you know, white people are such victims. But it's the way that they have stretched the definition of DEI that is, I mean, it would be funny if it weren't so harmful. And the one we talked about last week that is still a concern out there deals with the 100 or so Wisconsin families that could soon be losing access to services that aid deaf-blind students. And that's because of cuts by the U.S. Department of Education. So the DPI, the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, has said there will not be federal grant funding available for the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Project. The current Trump administration says that they're reevaluating everything, and that according to an administration spokesperson, grants like these to deafblind students, okay, many of these grants, according to a statement, use overt race preferences or perpetuate divisive concepts and stereotypes, which no student should be exposed to. The non-continued grant funds are not being cut. They are being reinvested immediately into high-quality programs that better serve special needs students. Well, never mind the last part of that, which is just blatantly wrong and false. But this whole notion of that money that goes to deafblind education, according to this statement, perpetuates divisive concepts and stereotypes. Being deaf and or blind is not a stereotype. It's not a divisive concept, all right? It's a need that helps people learn and get access to assistive technology and transition services. There's nothing luxurious about this, about the programs that are provided through the Deafblind Technical Assistance Program. And of course, the Department of Public Instruction is, you know, trying to stay on top of the Trump administration and make the case that these grants should be restored. But at the moment, in the name of being anti-woke, these families are scrambling. Imagine if that's your child, and how do they get an education otherwise? Well, of course, that's only one example from Cleo Krejci in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from yesterday. Citing concerns over diversity, equity, and inclusion, the U.S. Department of Education has eliminated about $8 million in grant funding earmarked for special education teacher programming in Wisconsin K-12 schools. So apparently, training special education teachers is divisive or somehow racist. The Department of Education reviewed all grants like this and said that, you know, there were problematic words in some of these grant applications. For example, that special education coaches would be trained with an equity mindset. There apparently was also language in another grant application that said that that there will be a discussion of the impact of white supremacy and the history of whiteness on systems and work to disrupt and dismantle its effects and facilitate action planning to build a more equitable system of education in its place. The Trump administration says that doing that is itself discriminatory, and the Trump administration has argued that the concept of systemic racism does not exist. Okay, let's go back on this. Again, the problem there, they saw that there was a mention there about white supremacy, the history of whiteness on systems. Just try and tell me that in the past, there weren't examples where two children needed special education services. One was white, one was not. And there were only enough resources to take care of one of the students. Which one do you think got it? And if you go, oh, it must have been the, you know, the non-white kid, you're not paying attention. Because for generations in this country, it was overt racism that prevented everybody's tax dollars from going to places where they are needed most. When people say, well, I don't believe in systemic racism, I don't believe in institutional racism, because you're calling me racist. Nobody's calling a person racist. But you look at education, you look at healthcare, you look at our judicial system, and you look at the difference in outcomes still to this day. It's not necessarily that there are overt racists in there, but there are things in the system that continue to work against people who are not white. And as you look into these systems and say, okay, how can we make things different? How can we make sure that that white child in need of special education and that black child in need of special education and that Hispanic child in need of special education all have access to good and well-trained teachers? That apparently looking into that and how to make things more fair to all three of those little angels is somehow divisive and racist. It's not. It's these cuts themselves that are. And I've never had a problem saying that. This is a guy who said he was going to get rid of, you know, the illegal terrorists on the streets and instead is rounding up all kinds of hardworking people. for the crime of wanting to come to this country and build a better life the way that many of our great grandparents did. And rather than fix the system so that they're not undocumented, you choose instead, you choose to blow up fixing the system. You make a conscious choice to avoid fixing the system, and you make a conscious choice to just round up brown people. Don't be surprised when you get called out on that, because it is exactly what it looks like. You're not making America safer. You're not making America great again. You're making things worse. You're making things more expensive. You're exacerbating the labor shortage. And now you're not even helping students who are deaf and blind or in need of special education services because of your rage about taking out your frustrations on people who aren't white because you feel some sort of white victimness, which is just one of the oldest, most frustrating things out there in America today. My goodness, it just gets to me. The people who think that they are somehow at a disadvantage because of this day and age, when we actually try to treat people more fairly, whatever their background. But that's what we have. And that's why our schools right now are fighting so hard to get grants restored that we're making things better. But apparently now, if you're deaf, blind, or want to be a special education teacher, too bad. You don't get that. There's a new candidate for Wisconsin State Supreme Court to tell you about. The announcement came out early this morning. I will quote from Mary Spacuzza's story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that says, State Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar is getting into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. She will be the conservative candidate in the race rather than Justice Rebecca Bradley, who announced recently that she is not going to seek re-election. So it's quite likely that Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar will face Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, a former Democratic state lawmaker who is already in the race for state Supreme Court justice. So at the moment, if no other candidates get in, it will be a classic progressive versus conservative campaign, the way that most of the recent state Supreme Court races have been. And keep in mind, progressives have won 4 out of the last 5 state Supreme Court races. And progressives have won something like 15 out of the last 18 statewide elections. Because Wisconsin is much more of a 50-50 state, or if anything, lean progressive, than it is a conservative state. It has large majorities of Republicans in the legislature and the Congress only because they rigged the maps more than a decade ago. But this appeals court judge, Maria Lazar, is running now. She is a former assistant state attorney general under Scott Walker, who defended the state in lawsuits against Act 10. In a statement, she said, "We need to draw a line in the sand and stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court." Those are her words, to stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court. It is quite clear that from her past record and her campaign donors that she, in winning a seat for the Court of Appeals, had support from all manner of conservative and Republican groups, including Wisconsin Right to Life and Pro-Life Wisconsin, which argue for total abortion bans with no exceptions for rape and incest frequently. This is a state Supreme Court that, when it was in conservative hands, was against women's reproductive health rights. It was for gerrymandering the maps. It was for power grabs that were done by Republican legislators against Tony Evers and Josh Call, the attorney general. And most chilling of all, that there were a couple of conservative justices who wanted to go along with Donald Trump's efforts to potentially overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin. Maria Lazar is of that same mold, will have big-time right-wing donors in her race for state Supreme Court against Chris Taylor. Again, that race is in April of next year. If one more candidate gets in, if there are 3 or more candidates, there will be a primary, a nonpartisan primary in February. But regardless, a general election for a state Supreme Court race come April. Coming up in our next hour, some big news about the 7th Congressional District and who wants to run for it next year. Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Imagine if you could obliterate all the mental blocks that hold you back. Too good to be true, right? David and Gina of Workwell Hypnosis help their clients leave bad habits, self-doubt, and internal turmoil behind. They cover a large number of common issues: smoking, overeating, work-life balance, low self-esteem, virtually anything holding you back. Workwell Hypnosis can unlock a better version of you. Transform your mind and your life. Get to workwellhypnosis.com to schedule a quick, easy call to learn more. Your future looks incredible.
Step right up. Circus history is alive in Wisconsin.
The circus would come to town and whole cities would shut down. There wouldn't be school. The stores would be closed because everybody would go to the circus.
A big part of the circus, the wagons, and now what's believed to be the last bell wagon anywhere, is at Circus World in Baraboo. Commissioned by the Ringlings in 1892, this 10,000-pound rolling musical instrument was the crown jewel of the circus parades.
Those parade wagons, circus parades would have happen to get people excited to come see the circus. And so those are the very ornamented ones, lots of carving.
That's Jennifer Kronk. She's the curator of history at Circus World. Three other unique wagons owned by Feld Entertainment in Florida are also on loan for the next couple of years. It's a slice of Wisconsin and circus history right here, where you can relive the glory of the parade and echo of the bells calling you to the big top. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 30th, New Hampshire implemented new hurdles for registering to vote by mail and requesting an absentee ballot. The regulations hit students, elders, and the disabled the hardest, and a pending suit claims many could be disenfranchised. New Hampshire already has some of the strictest absentee voting rules in the country, accepting only a few excuses to vote absentee. The state had over 99,000 absentee voters in 2024. With the added requirements of SB 287 and 218, citizens registering to vote by mail must now submit copies of citizenship documents, age, and residency. The voter registration application must also be signed by a witness before submission. The Brennan Center recently found that 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to such documents. Notably, only one non-citizen has ever been convicted for voting illegally in New Hampshire. Then, after the voter registration is accepted, New Hampshire requires an absentee ballot application be submitted for each election, which now must include a copy of the voter's state or federally issued photo identification, even if you've provided those documents previously or provide a notarized signature. A lawsuit filed August 19th argues such restrictions make it difficult for students, elders, the disabled, and those without access or means to copy the documents to vote. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. I'm Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale, and this is Valley Focus. Joining me today, Michelle Schultz from the Oshkosh Farmers Market. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Lisa. It's good to see you again.
It is always good to see you, and I look forward to this because we're going to talk about all the good, yummy, wonderful things that are at the Oshkosh Farmers Market.
Yeah, all things Oshkosh Farmers Market. That's what I'm all about.
Absolutely. Now, this is the last month that the Oshkosh Farmers Market will be operating in downtown Oshkosh, right?
Correct. October is the last month for our outdoor summer market.
Right.
And we'll just give you a little teaser. We do have a winter market that opens on November 15th, but you'll have to listen next month for that.
Okay. I love that. You won't know about it now, but I will tell you next month. That's great. You're a tease. So anyway, Michelle, in October, I know there are so many wonderful things that are going to be at the farmer's market.
We have a lot going on for October farmer's market. So coming up this weekend, we are doing a cultural exchange with the Mariachi San Jose. So we will have a live mariachi band at the farmer's market from Mexico.
Nice.
And they visited us last year. They were incredible.
Nice.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Incredible. So they will be down at the market. I think they're scheduled. They're either from 9 to 10 or 10 to 11. So I apologize. We haven't got the time quite worked out yet, but check down to the market for the mariachi band, because that's one not to miss for sure.
Absolutely.
So then coming up on October 11th, we have our pumpkin decorating. So all kids get a pumpkin decorating kit and a free pumpkin while supplies last at the farmer's market on October 11th.
That is going to be fun, too.
Yeah, and it's a crazy day at the market. That is sponsored by the Oshkosh Youth Hockey Association. So those hockey people will be down there helping give away all those pumpkins and pumpkin decorations. And if you have any questions on hockey, that would be the time to grab them for your kids.
Okay.
So coming up then on the 18th is the long-awaited raffle drawing. So this year, the market, in an effort to raise some funds for the ongoing efforts of keeping the market going, we are holding a raffle. Tickets are still on sale for $10 each. Top prize is $3,000. I just picked up gift baskets from Discover Oshkosh, and wow, the Discover Oshkosh packet has an overnight stay at the True Hotel. Ooh. It's in a vintage Oshkosh cooler.
Oh, nice.
Lots of Discover Oshkosh swag in there. And there's an additional, I would say, over $300 in gift certificates for food, beverage, and shopping outside of the downtown area. And then downtown Oshkosh has also donated a basket for our raffle drawing. That includes a night at the new Marriott Hotel. And then an over $250 in food and entertainment gift certificates as well. Plus some Discover Oshkosh swag.
That is really...
Downtown Oshkosh swag.
That's still really, really yeah. cool.
Both gift baskets are valued at way over $500, and those will be our second and third place drawing prizes. The main prize is $3,000 cash.
Nice. So where can people get those tickets?
Those tickets can be purchased at the market tents anytime between 8 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. at the farmer's market. Our tents are the big green ones located on the corner of Merritt and Main Street.
Okay, so just drop on by the farmer's market, pick up your ticket there.
That's where you can get your lucky ticket. We are only selling 1,000, and to date, we've sold only about 550.
So there's still
so the
some
odds
tickets,
are pretty good, yeah. and there's still tickets left. Correct.
Excellent. Now that drawing is happening on the 18th, right?
It is. It's happening 10 a.m. Miss Oshkosh will be pulling the winning tickets for us.
Oh, that is cool too.
So that'll be fun. And then to close out our market, our annual event is Trick or Treat at the Market. So if you ever wanted to have a very fun time and see 5,000 people in costumes, that would be the market to attend.
You know, I did trick or treat at the market last year and had so much fun.
It's the funnest market of the year.
It really is. I mean, all these people, mamas and dads and kids and teenagers and old folk,
I mean,
like
everybody's
me.
Dressed everybody up. Everybody is dressed up. It amazes me.
Yeah.
And the creative costumes.
There really are a lot.
The number
of
creative costumes is unbelievable. So, yeah, it's just a fun day to be at the market.
It really is. And that's the final weekend in October, and that wraps up the outdoor farmer's market.
That is it.
There's a break, just a two-week break before you switch
It's almost three this year. We almost got a three-week break this year.
Before you go to the inside market. Which
will be opening November 15th. Opening, we go back and forth between the Oshkosh Arena and the Oshkosh Convention Center, but opening weekend will be at the Oshkosh Arena this year.
Awesome. Okay. So we've got a great month of wonderful fall produce and fall flowers.
Oh my goodness gracious. Moms and squashes and pumpkins and... Lordy, stock up your freezer for winter with fresh pork, beef, and chicken. So,
yes,
the fall harvest is in overflow right now.
And
it definitely is.
This is my favorite.
And the
time
best part about
shopping
at the farmer's market right now is it's actually cheaper than the grocery store.
This is true. This is very
true. I've had many
true.
People come up to me and say, this is so much better for our budget than the grocery store. So, if you're looking to save some money on fresh produce and fresh food, come down to the Oshkosh Farmers Market.
And not only that, you're getting it directly from the farmer.
That's
usually.
Right. You know exactly where your food is coming from. You can ask all kinds of questions. There's no pesticides, no chemicals, no processing. And you can ask even all the bakers what's in their products. Mm-hmm. So that's something you don't get at the grocery store.
This is true. You don't get that. So, Michelle, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's always great to be here, Lisa.
And then next month, we're going to talk all about the inside
farmer's
market.
Oh, Lordy, here we go. the ever-growing winter market.
That's right. Thank you so much. All I appreciate thanks, you being
Lisa.
Here.
You have a great week.
You too. You can learn more about the Oshkosh Farmers Market by visiting osfmi.com or their Facebook page. WISS, I'm Lisa Hale.
For real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, be sure to subscribe to the Valley Focus podcast on our website, wiss.fm. While you're there, you can find out what's going on in our community by heading over to the events tab. That's wiss.fm/events. You're listening to Valley Focus on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WISS Oshkosh Appleton.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government shut down. House Speaker Mike Johnson says it's the fault of congressional Democrats.
44 Senate Democrats voted to reject a clean, nonpartisan continuing funding resolution to keep the United States government open. The Democrats said instead that they wanted to give health care to illegal aliens instead of keeping critical services provided for the American citizens.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says that's just not true.
Federal law prohibits the use of Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the Affordable Care Act to provide health insurance in any way, shape, or form to undocumented immigrants. Period. Full stop. That's the law. And Democrats aren't trying to change that.
He says Democrats are holding out for health care subsidies that will go